Sermon on the Mount. It's that address that Jesus gave to us years ago, those people that were considering whether or not they wanted to follow him. He laid out the ground rules. He spoke of what he expected, what he needed for them to do. If you're going to sign up to do anything, you want to know what the commitment's all about. Well, this is what these little chapters, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, that's what they do. They tell us in no uncertain terms that if we're going to follow Jesus, this is what he expects of us. There have been people interpreting all over the map on what these three chapters mean. We've talked about that in weeks past. Some say that these words are impossible because we won't be able to do any of these things until we're in glory, until God comes down and brings heaven to earth and the kingdom is sent into eternity. And there's a lot of things here that perhaps we won't be able to reach, or we won't be able to bring those character traits into our lives until Jesus is here among us. But I think that we'll have to admit that a lot of what we read in this sermon are things that should make us strive to be more and more like Jesus. This past Sunday, last Sunday when we met, we talked about how these next two Sundays, last Sunday and today, they were going to be closing out chapter 6, which talked about the choices we have, the choice of someone who would lead us. It's either going to be God or we're going to focus on money. That's what we talked about last week. And this week, it's who's going to be your provider? Is it going to be God, or are you going to be so consumed with worry and anxiety that you cannot move forward? See, it's one thing to say, oh yes, I don't want to worship money, and I would never worship money or material possessions, and I'm going to depend upon God, and there's no question there that I want to depend upon him to meet my needs. But when it comes right down to it, what about the daily needs that we have? If we say we're going to follow Jesus, okay, we're secure forever, for eternity. But when we say we're going to follow Jesus, Who's gonna take care of us each and every day? Who's gonna meet the basic needs of life? And that's what Jesus talks about in these latter verses of chapter 6. Choosing your provider. Is it gonna be God, or are you gonna let worry so consume you that you can't function? Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" That word at the very top of that verse, he says, do not be worried. In the Greek language, if we translate it over into English, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. So it's not like Jesus is saying, I want to ask you not to be worried. Or he's saying, please don't be worried. He is giving us a command, just like an officer in the army would give commands, direct commands to soldiers that were under his command. Don't worry. It's a command. Now we know there's a difference between what we want to call worry and what we would call concern. And indeed there is. It's the same word in the New Testament. But the context will tell you whether you're talking about concern, which means keeping something in the right place of life and being concerned, being not worried, but being in such a frame of mind that you want what's best for someone. Concern. Concern can be something that encourages us if it's pointed at the right things. But the other side of that is concern can quickly roll over into nothing but worry. And worry causes you and me to lose perspective. It causes us to doubt. It causes us to question anything and everything around us. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us today, is that difference between anxiety and concern, be aware of it. And when it's proper to be concerned, when it's proper to agonize over the problems that people are facing, when the concern is there because you want to do something, but you're keeping it in the right perspective, then move forward. But if it's worry that's got you down, if it is out of control anxiety, it doesn't matter how many counselors you talk to. It doesn't matter how many medications you can take. The root problem of worry is one that Jesus says we must deal with each and every day. Now, as he moves through this passage, he gives some basic illustrations to help us see that God is going to provide for us. And he jumps there in the 26th verse, talking about life and food. What does he say? He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? What's Jesus telling us here? Where is he coming from? He's using an example, a modern day, whatever parable, however you want to look at it. He said, hey, if you choose God to be your provider, if you choose God to watch over you, don't you think he's smart enough? Don't you think he's loving enough? Don't you think he's powerful enough that he will provide for your basic needs? Life is so much more than food, clothing, he would say. We would say, yes, absolutely. So the bottom line here is if we are depending upon God, we will know that he's going to provide for us each and every day. He then moves in the next section to clothing as an example. 6:28. Why are you worried about clothes? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, he said. Now once again, take these statements for what they are. They are general examples, not specific menus that God is going to provide for us to eat each and every day. Not a particular set of clothes, not 100% merino wool suit, whatever the case may be, that God is going to provide for me to wear, for you to adorn yourself. He's giving us basic teachings that if we look carefully and we see that God, who created all things and wants what's best for us, if he takes care of the birds of the air, if the lilies of the field clothe the soil and the ground, why do you doubt God's care for you? To provide for you each and everything that you need. The right priority is in Matthew 6:33. This is the most famous verse in this whole section. What does it say? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek. This is not looking for something that may or may not be there. But he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is right here in front of us. It is available to us. So once again, don't be thinking that God is covering up or hiding the best things in life, and we have to hope that if we roll the dice correctly, or if we win the card game of life in such a way that we throw down a royal flush or whatever it's called. All he's saying is when I tell you to seek God's kingdom is here. It's not that you have to create it. It's not that you have to go look under some spiritual rock or issue in your life. All you have to do is pursue God. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We We've talked about that word many times. Righteousness basically means R-I-G-H-T, right, correct, a correct standing with God. And if we seek His kingdom, and each and every day we're seeking to do those things that help us to grow more and more like Christ, being in that right relationship with God, then what's going to be added to us? All these things. And see, this is where most of us mess up. All these things, for some people, may mean a Porsche 911. All these things, for some people, may mean a two-story house. But what does Jesus say? That the God who created us, if we seek for His kingdom, He is going to add all these things. What are these things? Just go up to those verses we just read. Those basic necessities of life. The things we need. The things that should help us to be content no matter where we find ourselves on the economic scale. So maybe you've got to back off a famous verse that you've heard before and you've always used it to pray for certain things selfishly that you want, and you begin to see that what Jesus is talking about is when you remove worry from the equation and you seek after God, God is going to provide for you all of those things that you need in life. So really, what is he talking about? He's talking about eliminating worry. Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is trying to help us understand that if we say, I'm choosing God, I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to turn away from those material possessions that drive me crazy, I'm not going to be going after the dollar bill each and every day of my life, I am going to trust God. But that leads me to, if I say I'm going to trust God, can I trust Him to provide for the basic necessities of my life? And Jesus says, yes, you can. But it's all about how we respond to the onslaught of emotions that come from time to time when concern morphs into downright fearful worry about the things that we cannot control. You know, when you take possessions, when you take money, and when you take worry and mix them all together, you come up with all these extremes that we must avoid. So if you're here today and you're saying, hey, what does God's word tell me about how I can shrug off this worry that is just eating me alive? What must I do? Avoid extremes. One of those extremes is some people think that possessions are evil. And we know better than that. Possessions are not evil, but they must be kept in the proper perspective. Some people are going to say that planning for the future shows a lack of faith. But go back through the Bible. Some of the instances in the Bible that are very clear about this. The book of Proverbs talks about a sluggard and how a sluggard is one who's always depending upon others to take care of his or her needs. But the lesson of the ant, the scripture talks about the lesson of the ant, and probably it's every ant except the fire ant, because I don't know why they even exist. But the ant does what? The ant stores up things for the future. It's such a tiny little lesson from a tiny little insect. But yet the Bible says, if you want to keep possessions and worry and all these things in the right perspective, you can't go to extremes. Possessions are not evil in and of themselves. Planning for the future does not show a lack of faith. Some people think that pursuing profit is immoral. How many stories did Jesus tell about sharp-minded business people? He said it over and over again. Some people think that all wealthy people must have sold out for money. How could anyone be a follower of Jesus and be a wealthy person, some would say? And yet, Zacchaeus had that conversation with Jesus, and Jesus praised him for his attitude and really blessed his economic wealth that Zacchaeus spread to others. You see, with these things, this deal of worry, this deal of possessions, this idea of God versus money or God versus worry, it all comes down to sharpening into the middle, to not go to any extremes. Because the bottom line, my friends, is worry is idolatry. Worry is an idol. You go, no, wait a minute. I have a hard time getting past, you know, bowing down to a graven image. I know that that's ridiculous. That's not what we do in this day and age. And I have an issue with money. Yes, maybe I do. And I can understand people bowing down to a graven image or people wanting their bank account to be so big. And that's all that they think about. But to think of worry as something I fixate on. See, that's it. What is an idol? An idol is anything that takes your eyes off of God. And if worry does anything, it takes our eyes and our focus off of Christ and off of God. Worry is an idolater. It is an idol. The question is that the idol that you're serving this day? One person put it this way. We are crucified between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. Look at that again. We are crucified between two thieves, thieves that rob us. It's the regrets of yesterday on one hand and the worries about tomorrow on the other. Max Lucado is a pastor and a guy who can write books that just speak to the heart. You probably have read some of his materials. He has a little book called The Burden of Worry. The Burden of Worry. And his main thought in that book is that you meet today's problems with today's strength. You meet today's problems with today's strength. Time magazine had an article back more than 10 years ago. It's called The Science of Anxiety. It's 4 a.m. and you're wide awake, palms sweaty, heart racing. You're worried about your kids, your aging parents, your 401k, your health. But breathing evenly beside you, your spouse is oblivious. Doesn't he or she see the dangers that are lurking in every shadow? He or she must not. Obviously, how could he, with all that's going on in the world, have talked so calmly at dinner last night about flying to Florida on a big vacation? Folks, worry saps you and me of strength. Worry is an idol that can consume you and me. And Jesus, in this middle portion of the Sermon on the Mount, is trying to tell us in no uncertain terms that worry can be eliminated. It goes back to trusting God for strength to meet today's problems with today's strength. You remember what God fed the children of Israel when they were wandering around in the desert all those years trying to get in position for the promised land? They didn't have food, and he provided for them. What did he provide for them? Manna. Provided manna. And do you remember what one of the key elements of that is, it's easy to gloss over it if you're reading it in a hurry. But if you go back and read that Old Testament account, the bread from heaven, the manna, that nourishment that literally came out of the sky, the Israelites determined that it was wonderful that God, and they thanked him for providing it. But then they decided they were going to be smart, and they were going to take the manna, and they were going to gather up twice what they needed for each family and put it away, put it in a sack and use it in case the manna ever stopped coming. And you remember what happened. What they had gathered extra that they did not consume that day went rancid, mold, spoiled. What's the lesson? Is that God is here to teach us at some time in our lives that his strength for us is going to be strength for today. And we let tomorrow worry about itself. So what can we say? You may say, I am so scared of death. And what God's answer would be, or the Bible's answer would be, yes, death is a scary thing. But you will have the strength you need when the time comes. My spouse has left me. What am I going to do? I don't know where I'm going to turn. And God answers and says, yes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road. But I'll tell you this, you'll be ready for it when the time comes. My children are going to grow up and leave, and I've cared for them all these years, and I can't bear for them to be separated from me. Yes, that's the way it is when parents realize the price of raising children. But you'll be ready for it when the time comes. Whatever the situation is that you're facing, my friends, meet today's problems with today's strength, knowing that what follows later, what is coming the next day, you can't change it one way or the other. And God will provide strength at the right time when the day comes, when the time comes. You know, one of the best points Lucado made in his book about worry was, he says, one of the best things you and I can do, and he's right. He said, if you're ever stirred up, if you're ever just beside yourself with anxiety, stop and think about this day. Think about today. Look at today and give thanks. Thank God for watching out after you this day in the here and now. And that will turn into a habit, a healthy spiritual habit, of taking each day as it comes and knowing that God will provide the strength to meet that day. Not tomorrow's, that day. And you'll be ready when the time comes to face whatever follows. Year 2020, what are we going to be talking about years from now? Pandemic. These. Trying to figure out how big or how far 6 feet is from a person that you want to get close to. I'm sure we'll be talking about all those things and more. But one thing I hope and pray we'll also be talking about is God saw us through it. He always does. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to hear your word, to focus on something that affects us all each and every day. Help us to obey your command, not to worry. Yes, to be concerned when the time is right, to keep that concern within the right boundaries, but to never let worry consume us. Father, thank you for giving us strength for each day that we face. And we thank you in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.